How you guys doing today? Woo! Woo means good. All right, hey, welcome to the Remnant. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor here, or one of them, and I'm excited, man. What a good day, huh? You wake up, it's all dreary and rainy, and then you remember, I get to be with the saints. You guys know that? You know Scripture says you're saints? You're actually saints? Some of you are going, yeah, I get it, Todd. No, you don't. You're actually saints. In fact, Jesus many times said that, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, you guys, right? He said Moses and all the prophets would have longed to be you, right? To experience the fullness of the gospel. That's a beautiful thing. So that's you. Don't be grumpy today, okay? I came in a good mood. Don't be grumpy. So here's my question. We're going to dive right in. It's a little poll here. Would you rather have 10 pounds of copper? Are you on 10 pounds of copper, Josh? You don't want it at all? You're a liar. You could sell that. 10 pounds of copper or 10 pounds of gold? Wait, 10 pounds of gold. I was kind of blown away by this. So raise your hand if you'd rather have 10 pounds of copper. Humor me, one way or the other. All right, two people want copper. All right, you're trying to guess where I'm going with this. All right, who would want 10 pounds of gold? And the rest of you, raise your hand if you don't care to raise your hand because you want to be rebellious no matter what. Yeah. 10 pounds of gold. Well, in case you didn't know, Jill, I guess I'll just talk to you today. 10 pounds of copper is $43.60. That's pretty good, right? If you could get for free $43.60, you would take it. You ready for this? 10 pounds of gold, just 10 pounds. I should have brought a dumbbell so you can see. It's just 10 pounds of gold is $430,481.10. So copper people, gotcha, right? $430,000. Same weight, right? Put it on a scale, it's going to weigh the same. Whether this, you know, it's going to be less, gold is heavier, but it's going to be the same weight. But one is 1,000 times more expensive. In fact, it would take, you ready for this? 98,500 pounds of copper to equal the value of 10 pounds of gold. Jason, are you amazed by that? J-A-Y, Jason, you amazed by that? Yeah, it's incredible. Here's something interesting. Stay with me. I thought that was pretty crazy. Did you know that the Statue of Liberty did not always look green? Who knew that? Be honest. Raise your hand. Who didn't know that? Who still refuses to raise their hand? God, don't worry. If you're a guest, people do this constantly. I would love to do a social experiment on this. People do not want to raise their hands. It's like in school. You don't want to get called on. That's what it is. The statue. So raise your hand again if you did not know that it did not used to be green. Yeah. This is what the Statue of Liberty used to look like versus what it looks like now. All right, so that's 1886 when we first, it would have looked like that on the left. And on the right, it now looks like that. That's pretty wild. Isn't that crazy? That's a pretty epic sight, this gold. Because I used to think, why would they send us a green statue? You know what I mean? Why would they do that? They want to honor America. Here's a disgusting green statue. It didn't look like that. It looked like that. And what does that look like if you didn't know? Gold. It looks gold. It looked like gold. Now, coming back to copper and gold, now I already kind of gave you a clue. Those of you that I said, would you rather have gold or copper and you wanted gold, the reason is really simple. You want gold over copper because of what? It's more valuable. You say it's worth money. Copper is too. It's just worth more. It's more valuable. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Do you know what makes it more valuable? Rarity. Rarity. Yes. That is part of it. But it's not the only thing. Gold is more rare, but that's not the only thing. Copper, like the Statue of Liberty there, will actually last, I didn't realize this, will actually last hundreds of years. Could even last 1,000 years, copper can. Do you know how gold, long gold lasts? We don't even know. It can last millennia. That's multiple millenniums. Thousands of years without changing what it looks like. Not only that, if I take copper, like if that statue had really been made of gold, first of all, it wouldn't still be there. Okay, that's a fact. But secondly, if it were, do you know what color it would be? It would still be gold. Because gold is not changed by weather, inclement. You could throw it in the water. You know, it might grow barnacles on it or whatever. But at the end of the day, the actual, the material, the element of gold itself will not change. It will still look gold, shiny, all of that. So it's longevity too. That's why kings, do you think kings typically, they used gold for their crowns because it symbolized not only the rarity, kings are rare, no, because it's long lasting. And you go back to the Statue of Liberty. The reason that it's green now is because of the weather. It's out in the rain, it's out in the water, it's in wind, it's in all of these things. And over time, even though it looked like gold, the truth of what it was showed over time. It revealed what it was actually made of. Copper can last hundreds of years, but gold can last millennia. But they both start out looking pretty similar. There's a section in the Gospel of Luke. Before we're going to read, if you want to turn to it, you can. It's Luke chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. But I got to preface this. It's so interesting because I love the sound of Bibles flipping. That's awesome. Normally it's just click, click, click. That's cool. In this section before Jesus, we're about to read this, I want to tell you what Jesus says. You ready for this, Emma? He talks about a few things. He said, one, he talks about religious hypocrisy. He says, I'm paraphrasing, you can go read it, right at the beginning of 12, he essentially warns about looking the part but not being the part and how that's hypocritical. Hypocrisy is not striving to be godly and failing. Did you know that? That's a false religion. Striving to be godly and failing at times is not hypocrisy. That's the nature of the gospel. We need Christ. You understand that? That's not hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is? Hypocrisy is saying things and looking like you believe things that you don't even take a step towards. You don't even try. And he warns about this. And then right after that, this, remember, Jesus is teaching. We kind of pull parts, you know, parts out, but this is all in one conversation. Then he goes on and says, also, if you acknowledge me before others, I will acknowledge you. Are you going to be ashamed of me when times get tough? Or are you going to acknowledge me? Will you sit, by the way, right now I could get a lot of us. Me too. I've told you the story about, I shouldn't say it in front of guests, but one time I went and got my hair cut. One time. I've only had my hair cut one time. I got my hair cut one time, and as the lady's talking, this was a while ago. I had to make it sound better. And because I justified it by saying people treat you different when they know you're a pastor. Did you know that? And for me, they don't really, it's not like they give me more respect. I feel like they are afraid I'm judging them. So I was like, what do you do? I was like, I work for a nonprofit, which isn't technically a lie. Right? But that's shameful, right? And Jesus goes, religious hypocrisy, don't be hypocritical. Don't look the part. You need to be the part. Sometimes being the part won't look the part because you're not finished yet. You get that? You can look godly and not be godly, but you can be godly and sometimes not look godly. That's why we need Christ. So he says that. Then he says, by the way, are you going to acknowledge me? Because if you don't, I won't acknowledge you. You can't pick and choose when you want to follow him. What about to family? Since aside. Then he goes on. So he talks about hypocrisy. I skipped one. Talks about hypocrisy. Talks about fearing God. Right? You should fear God. Don't fear people that can't take anything worthwhile from you. Don't worry about people who can, you know, take your money. Worry about God who controls your eternity. Then he goes to acknowledging me before others, right? Will you say you're with me? And then he jumps into this. Connect all of that. There's a picture being painted here. If you're a member and you're sleepy, I'll come get you. If you're a guest and you're sleepy, have a good nap. Right? Luke chapter 12, right? Starting to verse, I'm going to start at 13, actually. Did I give you guys 13? That's fine. Someone from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Friend, he said to him, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? By the way, before everyone goes, I can't believe this guy would do that. You would. You'd be like, I'm getting an argument with my brother about money. And there's a guy here, right, who has some authority. I'll go tell this good teacher to tell my brother to give me the money he owes me. He's going to listen to him because he's got authority. We would all do this type of thing. Friend, he said, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? He then told them, listen to this. Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. I love it. I love being in middle-class America because everybody goes, well, that's not me because I ain't rich. You're missing the heart of this already. You think you have to be rich to put a lot of stock in your possessions? Sometimes we don't even want possessions to be rich. We want possessions to look a certain way to the crowd. Why do you think people wear Gucci, right? You ever heard that, right? I want to look rich. I don't. Don't have that, right? Why do you really like that fancy belt buckle with a G on it? That's why you wear it? Don't kid yourself, right? It comes with a status. Then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, what should I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? I will do this, he said. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and goods there. P.S. He goes, everybody thinks money, greed's money. This isn't, stay here. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. So essentially what this guy does, he's got a lot of grain, and what he says is, if I tear all my extra barns down and I can store more, I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to do as much because I'll just have it stored up for myself. You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We get a similar section, and we know that, remember, the Gospels are different people telling the same story. So they're going to remember certain parts, right? In Matthew 6, which is really it's in the same conversation, we know this. But in Matthew 6, starting at verse 19, you got that? Perfect. Jesus says this, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust, get it now, Statue of Liberty, Jacob, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's not about this. I'm not talking to you today about money. Could be for some of us. But I'm not just talking about money. That last sentence. This, if you're a Christian in the room, even if you're not, it carries weight. If you're a Christian, this isn't one of those ones to kind of go, this is cute and gloss over. Right? Don't store up for yourselves. Don't store up treasure on earth. Where it's just going to be destroyed. Thieves could break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Here's my question. If you were to die today, Lord forbid, what's your legacy? I'm serious. This has been hitting me a lot. What's your legacy? You know what a legacy is? It's not your money. It's not how many buildings are named after you. It's not your Gucci belt, because nobody cares. You ever think about that? You go to the graveyard, herein lies Joe Smith. He had a Gucci belt. Nobody does that. What will you leave behind in your life? Are you waiting? Are you saying, you know what? I'm going to get my life together, make it about me, get the things that count in this world, get my money, get my 401k. By the way, I ain't saying all this is bad. He didn't say it was bad either, right? Get everything, my status up, get my white picket fence, get my nice cars. I'm going to get all that, and then I'll focus on really serving God. If you die today, Lord forbid, what would you leave behind? What would stand the test of time? How would you be remembered by those around you? Would you be remembered as a person with lots of money? Cool. Can you guys tell me the richest person in Jerusalem in Jesus' time? Anyone? You know their name? Don't give me a name because you don't know it. That's a trick question. The richest. Do you know who it is? You don't. Tell me the name of the richest. No, you don't. You don't know. I'll trick you. Tell me the name of the richest person, right, in Fort Wayne right now without Googling net worth. Tell me who it is. Tell me the richest person. Tell me the most famous person in the year 1904. I just picked that up. I don't know the answer either. So if you really do know, that's impressive. Who had the most attractive wife in 1948? Right? Who had the most successful husband in 1989? Who had the most lovers in 1974? You'd be in big trouble if somebody was a weirdo and knew all that, right? Listen to me. What are you going to be known for if you did right now? You're the lots of money person? Cool. You're successful. How will people remember you? You were the grinder at work? How about this one? I'll mess with you. You want to be messed with a little bit? You knew the most Bible verses? Todd, I thought that was good. It's only good if it's pliable. See, some of you in this room right now, you're real good at being religious, and you justify it by saying, I'm allowed to treat people a certain way when they don't measure up to what I want them to be. It's the definition of religion. Religious hypocrisy. Because the way you love people, right, the way you treat people is dictated, ready, by how they treat you. Jesus says that, right? I'm going to paraphrase. Jesus is like, listen, everybody loves their friends. Everybody loves people that are good to them. I'm telling you, can you love people that aren't? How will people remember you? What's your legacy? What impact will you leave on the people you love the most? Lord forbid you died right now. How would your kids remember you? How would your wife? How would your husband? How would your grandkids? How would your best friend? How would your sister? How would your brother? How would your coworkers remember you? Would they remember you? Or would you be a blip on the radar of, that was a decent person, that's a shame. I don't need community. I don't need people around me, you selfish person. She was a nice person. Too bad we never really knew her. Said she loved Jesus. Said he loved Jesus. How would the gas station attendant remember you? The one you go to every day? Would you be, oh, that's the night? Would you want to be remembered as like, oh, that's that really nice guy. Do you know his name? No, but he was always so kind to me. Or there's that jerk. Hey, did you hear that jerk died yesterday? How would your coworkers? How would your kids? How do you remember Dad? He worked a lot. And some of us have to work. I'm not shaming people for that, but what do you do with the time you have? Some of you trick yourselves and say you're grinding for your family, but you're grinding for you. Would you be proud of how you're talked about and remembered, or would you be ashamed? Is your life characterized by copper crowns or gold crowns? I worry about that for myself. I'm not talking about pleasing everybody, right? People are going to dislike you even when you love them. They did that to Jesus. But you know what I mean. And the thing is, sometimes, guys, we don't... Nobody wakes up and says, I want to live a life that's meaningless. I want to live a life and be known as the mean guy. I want to live the life and be known as the very mean woman who disliked everyone and justified it and acted like she was better than everyone. I want to be known like that. Nobody wants that. Do you know how it happens? Subtly. Because after you make enough small decisions, you don't even remember, right? You don't remember what it is to love someone. Not like them or love them when it's convenient, but to love them when it's not. Is your life characterized by copper crowns or gold crowns? Let me change it for you. Do you feel like your life has a purpose? Is your purpose legitimately one of the saddest things? We talk a lot about this in men's group because, men, we tend to do this part more. Our life is get up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, maybe watch some TV, lay down, go to sleep, and do that over again for 40 years so you can retire and live what? Hopefully 20 years doing what? I did it for my family. Did you? Some of you ladies have been holding things over your husbands 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you go out and preach the grace and forgiveness of Christ, but you can't offer it to your husband. But you're doing good because you didn't divorce him. You see what I mean? How do you want to be remembered? You know, on the times in my life when I'm walking around kind of sleepwalking, that's what I call it, those days when like I wake up on a Monday, close my eyes and it's Sunday. You ever have those? And you're like, what in the world happened? What I've done in that week and what you're doing is we're sleepwalking. We're no longer being intentional with our lives, right? We're just being, for lack of a better word, wage slaves. We do what we're supposed to do because somebody gives us a check. And that's how we eat. You know what I mean? And that's like, is that life? You've heard it. It's become corny, but nobody on their deathbed goes, man, I really wish I'd have finished that last project at work. They don't think that. Now, the reality of life is that you got to work and you got to take care of business. That's not what I'm saying. And Paul says the same thing. Listen to this in 1 Timothy 4:8. It's the same concept, right? What is the purpose of your life? Do you have a purpose or do you just exist? Because here's the thing. Did you know God created you with a purpose? Listen, before you're already reading, that's okay. God created you with an actual purpose. You matter. And he sees all the people in your life and all the things in your life that you could do to give him honor and glory. But he's gifted you with free will too. What will you do with that? Listen to what he says. For the training of the body, he talks about, right, training yourself in godliness before this. For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive. Living a life of legacy and purpose and godliness is hard work. That's why Jesus said, no one who puts their hand to the plow and then looks back is worthy to follow me. It's hard, right? Do you think I naturally wake up and when someone's a jerk to me, I just, like, this is easy to smile at them. Guess what my flesh wants to do? Yeah, Terry goes, yeah, I want to bite their head off, right? Sometimes literally, right? That's weird. Anyway, ignore that part. But you get what I mean? It's hard. That's faith. Sometimes a lot of Christians walk around and they go, well, if God wants me to be loving and forgive me, he'll make it me that way. He is, but slowly, right? Do you want to be obedient and change? You're going to drag your feet. Right? Some of you are like, okay, some of you are saved. You are. There's this creepy, kind of eerie verse, and I don't have it up for you guys, but you can look it up yourselves. And he says, some people are going to be saved as if they were pulled through fire. They're singed. You're saved because of his grace, but you're just saved. You get what I mean? There's people that are going to be told this, well done, my good and faithful servant. And there are going to be some people that are told, and here you go. Which do you want? The saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason. What reason? Because godliness is beneficial. Sometimes we think our life doesn't matter. Here it does. For godliness is beneficial in every way since it holds promise for the present time and also life to come. Here's another thing. Your legacy isn't just going to be left here. You have a legacy in the kingdom of God. Do you know that? You have a legacy in the kingdom of God. This is the crazy thing about the gospel. You are not going to be punished. Anybody tells you this, they're wrong. You can talk to me after. Discipline's not the same as punishment. You are never going to be punished once you put your faith in Christ for your sin. Again, how can that be before you go, was it all on the cross or was it not? Right? However, did you know that you will be rewarded for the good you do? What a deal. I'm not going to punish you. That's already been done. But what you do in those moments when no one's looking, that cold water, he says, anyone that gives a cup of cold water to a kid that needs it, right, will be blessed in the kingdom of come, in the kingdom to come. All those little things you do that you think don't matter, the kindness, the love, the respect you give your husband when you don't deserve it, right? The gentle words you give your wife when she doesn't deserve it, the way you love your kids, the way you think, all of these things you do, that being kind to your coworker, they matter, and you're storing up literal treasure in the king in the time to come. Because heaven is not just this, like, we're all ghosts. That's not what happens. There's going to come a time, if we die now before Jesus comes back, we go get to be with him. But guess what? The kingdom of God is he comes back here, destroys all evil, remakes heaven and earth, and we get to live with God again in the garden, essentially, and we get a perfect life with perfect bodies. Mine's going to look like The Rock without steroids, right? And some of us, we're all going to be happy, but some of us are going to be rewarded. And that's fair, right? More for the good we do. So our legacy, how crazy. And Paul's saying, listen, it's not, you have a legacy here in this life, and that shouldn't matter, but you have a legacy in the kingdom to come. What's yours? You got some copper, or are you storing up gold? For this reason, we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Offers to all people. If you think he's going to offer it to people that hate him, what do you think he's going to do for the people he loves? That's just a bonus. You think he's forgotten about you? Sometimes our legacy is shown during hard times. You get what I mean? Think about this real quick. For some of you that are in tough times, you're like, my life's horrible. Which story is the epic story? Which do we make movies about? Guy wakes up, silver spoon, right? Rich, his whole life he goes through no trials. He lives for himself, buys fancy things, has a nice house, and then dies. What a good movie. Or the person who faces obstacles and overcomes, still is kind to people, even when people aren't kind to them, moves on, right? Overcomes it all, crawls out of the filth, right? Makes something of themselves while still loving the people around them, and then lives a full life. Are you the guy that falls asleep during service? Are you the guy, all right, I'm going to get you. I've said this a million times. Ain't nobody paid you to come here. Stay home, take a nap. Why you come? Which one is it, right? Which movie is good? And some of you are in the middle of that, and you don't understand that you're getting an incredible opportunity to store treasure. You're getting an incredible opportunity to be a testimony to other people. The testimony is not on Sundays when everything's good. Your faith, and this is hard, is shown in the elements, right? Like the Statue of Liberty. When times get hard, when things are tough, that's why Jesus said, what will you do? Will you turn away from me? Or will you trust me? Everybody wanted Jesus. I say this a lot, when he was handing out free bread and fish. Thousands of people, but how many there when it was time to stand at the cross? That's what faith is. So here we say, Paul says the same thing. He goes, listen, striving for the things of this world aren't wrong, right? That can be a testimony too. We should work hard. You know what says that? You should work as for the Lord, all of that kind of stuff. But my point is, what is your life right now characterized as? And by the way, high schoolers, middle schoolers, it's just, who are you? If you move away today, if you can't fathom dying, and I'm glad you can't. If you were to move away today, are you even remembered at your school? And I'm not talking about popularity. That goes. Nobody cares about the popular guy the next day. What's your legacy now? Because I can tell you the people I remember from high school, they're not the people that wore the Gucci belts. They're not the people that wore the nice clothes and hung out with just the cool kids. That's not the people I remember with a positive view. It's the people that were kind, even then, right? That were loving. I didn't know Jesus then, but I respected them for the way they love Jesus. What's your legacy right now? Right? Copper crowns or gold crowns? I was an English major, history and English in undergrad. So I'm saying this because I'm about to quote a poem for you. Josh, you'll like this poem. I don't know if you will. It's called Ozymandias, right? Anyone ever heard of it? Oh, cool. Nice. I knew you did back there, John. Yeah, Ozymandias, right? And it's written by Percy Shelley. Mary Shelley. There's a connection there. Good lady who wrote Frankenstein. But listen to this. It's not going to be on the stage. I'll try to skip around. I thought I'm not putting this, but it's good. We'll put a little culture in here. He said, I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell it that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survives stamped on these lifeless things. He's saying, hey, I met a traveler. The traveler said, I was out in the desert and I saw a big statue that was weathered and torn and broken. It was huge. Think of the Sphinx. So even though its sculptor, whose passions read, he did a great job, which yet survives stamped in these lifeless things, the hands that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on pedestal, these words appear. There was something written on the pedestal of this massive thing. I'm going to get really loud if you don't wake up. Okay, is that what you want, Jill? Is it? Okay, I can either be comforting and soothe you to sleep, or I can be very angry. Which is it? Is this comfortable for you? Me either. I hate this. Please stop. All right. My name on this on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty in despair. Yet that's what it says, and it says, nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sand stretch far away. Some of you are like, what in the world does that mean? He goes, you got this king. And he said, look how massive I am. He paid this guy and he made him build this statue for him. And yet nobody, the only thing that actually stands the test of time is the sculptor who sculpted it. This man's kingdom is gone, replaced with dirt and dust and sand. It didn't matter. He was a great person when he was alive because he had this power, but years pass and he's nobody. Right? I'm going to get you. I'll keep doing it forever. It's very, very insulting, okay? Because imagine I'm talking to you guys and I do this. You would never come back. You're probably not going to anyway because I've had to do these weird voices, but you get my point. What he's saying is here, this poem is connects with this. What really stands the test of time is not even power or status. Nobody, people might remember the name, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Because guess what? That king died, and his kingdom's gone. Jesus, multiple times, God tells us in the New Testament multiple times, listen to me, stop focusing on only this life. Stop it. This life matters. It matters enough. What you do here matters. It's good, right? It matters, but it's not the only thing. Stop worrying about what the world tells you to worry about. What's my purpose here? Some of you are going, what is my purpose? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to simplify it for you, not make it Christianese because it's going to sound that way. Jesus said there's two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love other people as yourself. How do you love the Lord your God? Do good. Do what he tells you to do. And don't do what he tells you not to do. And how do you love other people? There's a million ways you can do that. Sometimes, is it loving to give a cup of cold water to someone that's thirsty? Is it loving to get a kind word to a lonely person? Is it loving to go talk to that person at work that everyone hates and smells bad? Yeah, you get what I'm saying? That's it. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, everybody goes, it's the love chapter. You have it at weddings. But he says this powerful thing. He then takes it even a step further and tells us that not only does gold and money not matter, but all these miracles that some of you seek, you want to speak in tongues? Cool. You want to heal? Cool. You want to, I could tell this mountain to flow. None of that's going to matter in the kingdom of God. Those things only matter to point to God. Only one thing will be in the kingdom of all those gifts, and that's love. Right? Sorry, bub. See? You made me wake him up. He's still happier than some of you. Bam! All right. Why is that? Why is love? Because love transforms other people's lives. I am who I am because some people showed me love. I'm preaching to you because this guy loved me enough to tell that even though he knew me to say, I want you to come hear about Jesus. Do you know that? Even though if he would have told me, Todd, I want you to come and know Jesus because you're going to go to hell, I would have listened, right? I would have because I recognized there was a God, but he loved me enough to invite me along with him instead of worrying about whether I'm going to think he's a weirdo. Love lasts. You're not going to necessarily remember, I paid you $100 for fixing my car, but you might remember if I gave you $100 during a time when you were struggling. It's the intention behind what we do. Your religious works, some of you, man, you need to hear this. You're the good little Christian that could, but your Christianity stays, it's really, really good in a 2-foot circle around you. It doesn't spread out to anybody else. And there's people out there that mess up, and they do a lot of dumb stuff, but they do a lot of good stuff too. And they're probably going to have more treasure than you do in the kingdom. Because you were more worried about not being bad, which Jesus already took care of, than of being good. Love transforms. Love lasts. What's really worthwhile in this life? I'm serious. That haunts me. What's he going to think, right? I think about that Jericho. I think about that a lot of times. He's seen me at my worst. What's he going to remember about who I am? I'm scared of it. I don't even want to ask him because that could, right? What's he going to remember? Am I stacking up more good days or more bad? I'm grinding, right? I want to do things for God. I want to love people. I want to, right, tell them the gospel. That's good and real. But is my baby girl going to remember that I was home or not ever? But I was serving God. The older I get, I was on the treadmill when I actually, this message came to me the other week. I was actually having a really rough day, and I was like, that's how God works. I was like, I shouldn't tell you this. I was like, life is meaningless. I have those thoughts. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm tired all the time. I'm grumpy. Where are you, God? You ever had that feeling? Yeah. And you know what? And then by the time that 30 minutes was done, I was like, man, I'm not, my mind isn't on the right things. I've said this so many times, and guests, I hope you listen. You're the only people that listen. Members do not listen to me. So if you end up staying long term, a couple months, you won't listen to me anymore either. They do not listen to this, so I'll say this to you. The why of what you do matters more than what you do sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Meaning, I'm doing all of these things, right? And on the surface, I'm doing it for God. And it is true. It's not wrong. But am I doing it to love you or doing it because that's what I'm supposed to do? And over time, that can kind of change your heart, right? It can change because when we live out of that, when we live out of like, then guess what slowly creeps in? Well, why is she not nice to me? I'm nice to her, right? Why are they not good to me? I'm good to them. Look at what I've done for them. They don't care about, you get what I mean? Imagine if Jesus felt that way. He wouldn't have went to the cross, I'll tell you that. Any time he could have said, I'm not doing this. He cared about his legacy. Do you know that? What's your legacy? Do you take your kids to church, but you're angry all the time? Guess what you're teaching them about the pursuit of God? Why would I want God when all God leads to is a mad, rage-filled father? When all God leads to is a mad, right, bitter mother. Why would I want God when all that means is Monday through Saturday, I'm mean, like you're mean to the people that you say you love the most, but on Sunday you put your nice clothes on and show up to church. Slip out before anyone talks to you. And I'm not shaming you because you know what the beautiful thing is about legacy? If you're still drawing a breath, you have a chance to change it. You can change it today. And your kids, you know what's crazy about kids? Remember, and before you go, that's not true. Think about yourself. It's always a weird place for me. I don't like, I was brainwashed, I guess, but like I was abused as a kid, okay? I'm not trying to get you, that's not the point of what I'm saying. I was, it's a fact. I know a lot of people say it nowadays, that's why I don't like saying it, okay? But you know what's crazy? When that person who did that had a day where they were kind and loving to me and made me forget every single belt, every single fist, every single kick, every single stomp, isn't that crazy as a kid? I still remember those. So some of you parents that think you're, you know, had a, you were mean to your kid for a week, it's so cool because you have an opportunity tonight. I'm not talking about discipline your kids. You know what I mean. You have an opportunity tonight to go and change that. And they're going to go to bed tonight remembering that way more than they remembered your mess up. I'm not even telling you, right? Sometimes legacy, say you're the ragemonger dad who goes to church. Do you know sometimes the best legacy you can do is sit your kid down and say, hey, I sinned and I was wrong. But you've been taught, well, if I do that, they're not going to respect me anymore. What do you respect? You respect people that are real about their flaws and failures, or you respect people that are fake and lie? Sometimes repenting to your kids is important to show them that we mess up. You know? Let them see you apologize to your spouse. Oh, my kids are out of the house. So what? Why don't you show them? Maybe go back and say, I didn't treat your dad the way I should have. I didn't treat your mom the way I should have. You can change it. You're the grumpy person at work. Everybody else is grumpy around. You can tomorrow change that. What's really worthwhile in this life, on that treadmill, and it's so silly and ridiculous, I know. I just had this thought of like, man, what is my legacy? I knew a guy, I tell the story a lot, but I'll tell it to the visitors who actually listen. I knew a guy, I did work for a nonprofit that worked with teens for a long time, right out of college. And I knew a guy who came in every day, and he was the janitor. That's what he did, he was the janitor. He came in, and he cleaned the floor, he washed toilets. I watched him do that. He took his job very seriously. He's very old, I don't know, 70s, 80s. He came in, he was very concerned about me getting married, for one. He was always trying to hook me up with people. This is a true story, but it didn't come off as weird. It was like, this guy's like, hey, I'm really worried about you. You're never going to find love. I got to handle this. Like, I told this story, I think it's so sweet and funny. He came up to me and goes, hey, I met this girl at the pharmacy. She's really nice. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, I just kind of, he goes, she's a little homely. You know what that means? Physically, she's not very attractive, but she's very kind. Like, he was very honest. You get what I mean? It was just a funny story. It was like he was kind enough to warn me about this in his own mind. He came up, he would make me drink Maalox. I have a lot of stomach issues, and he would like make me show up, and it sounds way weirder, and he's like, drink this. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, no, right now. While he's cleaning, I found out he ended up getting cancer. He gave up some of his hours. I should stop. I don't know if I ever told this part. He gave up some of his hours as a janitor. I didn't know this till later, because at the time, the organization, I started part-time, then they built me up. And he's like, hey, why don't you clean? You need some help. He gave up some of his hours so that I can make more money, but never told me that. He ended up getting cancer. He died. Right before his death, a few months before, guess what I found out? For over 30 years, he was a pastor of a massive church in Pennsylvania. Massive. Never talked to me about that one time. Talked to me about God all the time, but never told me or bragged to me about how many hundreds of people he preached to. He just lived his life serving and loving, and I remember him, and I'll always remember his name. His name's John. Now, I've had people that have helped me, and I've had people that have done good for me, but I'll remember John forever. He has a legacy in my life, and I'm just one. Can you imagine how many other people he touched in this life? I knew a lady, I've said this before, that used to come to the same place and clean, like, the grates, you know, the registers, where the heat comes out. She'd clean that stuff with toothbrushes, and I was like, what are you doing? She was on the board. She's like, these kids deserve a clean place. Millionaire. She's a millionaire. If I told you her name, you'd probably know it. But that's not why I remember her. Why I will always remember her. She loved me when other people didn't love me. When I messed up and the whole world turned on me, and she's She's socially somebody in this town. Every week she met me at Pizza Hut. She loved me at Pizza Hut. Had me go to Pizza Hut and had lunch with me, seen in front of everybody for a year. That's a legacy. But I don't remember her because she was rich. What's really worthwhile in this life? What is treasure? What is treasure? You know, sometimes we get so hurt by circumstances of life and by people that we fall into ourselves. I did this. I told you guys a few weeks ago, I feel like I wasted 3 to 5 years of my life for real. You kind of fall into yourself. You ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand, just nod. You ever had something painful happen, and for a while, whether it's a couple weeks, months, or a year, you kind of suck into yourself? And you're not trying to be mean, you're just trying to survive, right? You don't want to get hurt anymore. It's like a hedgehog, right? It's not always because you're selfish, but what happens is over time, that becomes life, that becomes normal, and then what happens is, even then, your legacy changes. Maybe your legacy isn't negative, but you don't even have one. Oh, that's just the lady next door. That's just the guy next door. It's hard sometimes when you feel passionate about something but the cool part is, and I was reminded this morning, somebody in this room today, this is hitting you like it hit me. And you know what's really cool? God may be only speaking to you. How amazing is that? That he loves you enough that you thought you were just showing up to this random church with purple chairs like one time. And it actually is because he said, I see what you're going through and I want to remind you that what you're doing matters. And some of you, he's going, hey, I know, you know, you started out pursuing this because it was good, but it started being something ugly. You need to, what's that word? Recalibrate. There we go. Right? That's the sound of you recalibrating. What is treasure? What's your purpose? Manny, can you come play some music? Are you living to gather treasure that doesn't matter? Thank you. I'm going to say this again. Are you living your life to gather treasure? And that, by the way, I hope by now you realize this ain't just money. It could be. See, for me, let me stop, because this is important. This might resonate with some of you. Believe it or not, money was not my motivator, okay? I succeeded. I went to a bank. This is going to start as a brag, but it's going to end with I'm an idiot, okay? So just stick through the bragging part. I went to this bank. When we started this church, I was never paid by this church for the first 6 years, right? I just worked full-time and did this, and then that turns out, as you get bigger, that's hard to do. And then they were like, hey, if you do this anymore, you can't be here, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I went to this bank, and I walked in, and I literally said this in my interview. They're like, what's your goal? I said, in 6 months, I'm going to be a branch manager. I'm going to be a manager of my own bank. They're like, oh, guess what? I did it, right? I did it. But here's the crazy thing. And people buy... That's the brag. Now you're ready for the idiot part if you didn't already pick up on it. The funny thing is, I actually didn't do that. I got paid a lot more, right? When I started, I was actually a teller float. They called me a float, so I like floated around to different branches. I remember I had a friend in high school come. His mom came and go, oh, hey, Todd, this is what you're doing with your life now, huh? You're just kind of doing this until you figure life out? Literally said that. Imagine the insult, by the way, that is to everyone. Not just me, but to my coworkers. By the end of it, you know what's funny, though, Jacob? You'll think this. That huge raise I got, it didn't matter. Because to me, it was about proving people wrong and being successful. That's why I'm weird. Sometimes treasure isn't just the money. Like, if I became a millionaire, and I'm being serious about this, I would love it. I'm not saying I wouldn't. But the money itself wouldn't be what I would thrive, like feed off of, what my flesh would feed off. It would be the status and the success that it took for me to get that. You get what I mean? But that's still a type of treasure that doesn't last. The people that I worked with at that bank don't remember and go, you know what, that guy, he was a branch manager in 6 months. They don't remember that. They don't. What they remember, and I don't know how they view me, is how I was with him day to day. What's your purpose? Are you living to gather treasure that doesn't really matter? And here's the secret. Nobody really cares. Have you ever had that feeling? I'm not going to make you raise your hand. Have you ever, like, got a new house, got a new car, got a new promotion, and you kind of, we all do this, and then you won a lottery, I don't care, and you tell people, and you're like, oh man, and you don't realize how much you put stock in what other people think, and you tell them, and you're like, man, they're great, and they're like, oh, that's great, and that's it. Right? You strove so hard. I remember that when I played pro arena football, right? I thought I was like, man, I'm going to call my dad up and he's going to be like, you're the most incredible son I've ever had. You are amazing. I've never been more proud for you to bear my name. And I told him, he's like, that's cool. And I walked away. He's like, what did I do that for, right? None of you care, right? None of you come up to me and ask for my autograph. No one cares. You shouldn't. It was nothing. But you get my point. No one, but to me in that moment, that was everything. If I could just get that, then I had a purpose. You know, now that I don't play football anymore, and I probably don't talk about this a lot, some people say, well, Todd, was it worth it? I'm hurt all the time. My body's beat up. I didn't make millions, okay? Honestly, it cost me money in the long run probably. But I do know this. This is one area of my life I'm proud of, is that I did. It's one of the few times in my life that I know there are dudes that I still talk to this day, who knew I was different. And it cost me something in the short term. I didn't get to always, you know, eventually I didn't get invited to the parties and all that stuff, but eventually when things mattered, when someone was struggling, they knew who to call. And I got to say, you know, you think I love you? You don't even realize how much he loves you. What's your purpose? Are you living to gather treasure? Are you trying to be the really good person at work? That's cool. This is all good if it's for the right reason. I can't wait to get a spouse. Is it to serve and love and have kids? And that's right. Like, those things aren't bad. Or is it just so that you can say, look, everyone, I did it? Are you looking to leave the world better than you found it? That is so haunting to me lately. Because we're all going to die. It's just a matter of when. The only thing that lasts is going to be the legacy that we leave behind. And the only thing that matters in the kingdom, right, is the treasure we've stored there. That's what Jesus was saying. He's like, you're wasting your life trying to store up all of these things that it's not going to matter anymore. You can't put it in that casket with you. Are you looking to leave the world better than you found it, to impact the lives of those around you in tangible ways? You've told people how many times this year about your job, how hard you work. How many times you told them about the gospel? Be honest. Why live it? I just don't speak it. How are they going to hear? Paul tells us in Romans, if you don't, someone doesn't say it. Are you looking to leave the world better than you found it, to impact the lives of those around you in tangible ways? The Bible says love never ends. It endures forever. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Guess what that's going to do? Endure forever. The way that you love others as yourself, guess what that's going to do? It's going to endure forever. Something that I did recently, I actually did this several months ago, I just haven't lived it, and I could prove it to you, Trent. I know you don't believe me. I could show you right now on this phone. Come and see it. I made a list of the people, because this has been haunting me for a while. I just never preached on it. I made a list of the people that I said, I want to make these people's lives better. I'm serious. You can see on my phone. I made a list. I typed it out. These people, I'd like to make all your lives better, but I don't get to interact with you enough to do that. But I made a list of people that I rub shoulders with enough, and I want to make their lives better. And the goal is every week to do something that makes their lives better. Here's my challenge. Do that. Now, if some of you go, who would I put on there? This is great. Start with your family. If you're married, start with your spouse. If you got kids, start with your kids. If you got a relationship with your parents, start with them, right? Some of you don't, then make it the family that you've chosen. Will you do that? Or are you just going to go, that sounds nice. I dare you to do that. And then put it up somewhere and then make an effort to make those people's lives better. Well, I want to do it for my whole church. I love you. God bless your heart, but you can't do that. Can you pick 10 of them? Some of you in this room are on my list. Right. I don't do a great job of it, but I want to. You're on my list. Right? That I want to live, I want your life to be better because of me, even if it's a small way, right? I want the good, because I'm going to screw up. I'm probably going to do it in 10 minutes. I want it to outweigh the bad. Now, some of you in this room go, I can't do that. I've messed up so much. I've been addicted, or I've been, you know, I've wasted my life. I've screwed up. I've been in jail. All these things that you beat yourself up about. Listen to me. What did I just tell you? People will remember what you do moving forward far more than they remember what you did. And the beautiful thing is, that's the most beautiful part of your legacy, because you get to be in the part of the movie where they say, that person was in jail, they were addicted, and look what they've done. Make a list of people. You want your list today? You guys like when I give you a list? You get to make it. And then do it. Family should be on there. Listen to this. The family thing, right? And by the way, you're single. I don't have family. Yes, you do. You have family. There are people that you have as your family, right? I'm not super tight with a lot of my actual blood family. I'm not. But I got people that are my family. And I want to leave their life better today than I did yesterday. And we can do that. We can love them. Now, here's the secret. Some of you are like, how do I do that? Read the Bible. It's got like a cheat sheet. It tells you all these cool ways to do these things tangibly. It's boring. We ain't not looking at the right thing. Proverbs 27. Did I give you that one? Nice. Listen to this. A righteous person acts with integrity. His children who come after him will be happy. They're going to be happy because they have all the money. They're going to be happy because they have the big house. They'll like that. No, if you act with integrity, right, they're going to be happy to follow your example. They don't need perfection. They need direction. You hear me? They don't need perfection. They need direction. Which direction is your life going? If you're in this room today, I want you to think about, that's all I got for you. You get to go a little smidgen early, right? That's good. We started late. Some of you go, this was early? I know. Listen, I'm under no illusion I'm going to see all of you again. Guests, members even. Heck, we got 20 members not here today. But you know what's really cool? God loves you enough that he's got something for you today. Do you know that? He's speaking to you individually. You're not an ant farm. Sometimes we think as Christians we're all in an ant farm. He's like, oh, here's my ants. No, you're an individual person. What are you going to do today to change your legacy? With the gas station attendant, with the coworker, at the gym. That's something I got to change. I look really grumpy at the gym. I've been told this by I don't know why, because I'm usually in a hurry. I need to change that. Your wife, your kids, you know you can change it today. They're going to be, well, see, some of you start to change your legacy, and then when you're not treated like your legacy's changed immediately, you give up. That's not a legacy. That's a good day. You got to stack them on, right? And if you mess up as you're trying to do it, guess what, Trent? You just say, hey, I'm sorry. You know why we don't want to do that? Because then we know people are going to be looking to see if we meant what we said. We don't like that, right? I don't. If I tell you I'm going to change and I mess up, you get to go, ha-ha. But it's not about that. If you're in this room, what are you going to do to change it today? So cool. Everyone, even those of you that have an awesome legacy right now, you can be better. You can start to live your faith out in a real way and not just become your family doesn't look at you as, oh, yeah, they go to church now, but you can go, something transformed them. Because you're a testimony. Some of you are the only Christian in your family, and you don't take that seriously enough. You are the only Jesus they see. That's hard and lonely, but God sees it, and he will reward you for your faithfulness. If you're in this room today and you go, man, my life has been characterized by mess up after mess up, and that's all people know me as, and I've been trying to fix myself, and I can't. That's the beauty. And I'd love to do this church thing, but I can't fix myself. That's the incredible thing about the gospel. You're in good company. Neither could the apostle Paul. Paul said, I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I want to do. I sin. Thank you, right? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Here's the gospel. I'm going to tell you some good news right now. The bad news is here's this gospel in a nutshell. God created everything, made it perfect. And in this garden, this perfection, we were in perfect relationship. There was one rule. He's God and we're not. He tells us what right and wrong is. And guess what we did? We said, no, I'm God. I'll decide what right and wrong is. And because of that, like a branch snapped off a tree, you don't want to be connected to the tree? Okay, we're all dying. And what's happened is, no matter how much we try to bring ourselves alive, no matter how much we try to fix ourselves, we're just a branch on the ground dying. Thousands of years of human existence have showed us what it's like when the creation walks away from the Creator. We don't do a good job at being God. Sin entered the world. Sin is a disease because of our decision. It was the natural consequence of being separated from a holy God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm a good person. You don't measure up to the goodness of God. So if you want to be with God again someday, when that you take your final breath, you got to somehow get attached to that tree. And because you're not good enough, what are you going to do? Well, I go to church. Not enough. That doesn't make up for the bad you did. If you were perfect from this point for the rest of your life, it would not be enough to fix what you've done. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. A little more bad news. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We will all go before a holy God and be judged. So when we couldn't get to God, God came to us. Jesus Christ existed. God made flesh. He invaded this earth. He did exist. No one, no historian will tell you that Jesus of Nazareth didn't exist. He existed. He performed miracles. Thousands of people witnessed this. He told us what the kingdom was like, what we were made to be. He gave us purpose. He reminded us, and then he did something incredible. He, when the branch couldn't attach itself to the tree because of how bad it was, he stooped down and grabbed the branch. When we were dirty and sinful and couldn't get clean enough, he stood in our place. He died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. On that cross, he did something incredible. He took your sin and mine. That's a fact, guys. Remember all that bad stuff I just talked about? When you go before the judge, there's two options. You will go before him and stand on your own merit, right? You will stand on whether you were right or wrong, whether you were good enough, or you will stand and he will see Jesus. Because that's what happens on the cross. You come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't know how to do this. I can't make myself good enough. Please help me. He then takes your sin and gives you the benefit of his life. That's it. The Bible says if you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Period. What about my addiction? Didn't say anything about that. What about my sin? What about me being able to fix it on my own? Didn't say anything about that. Are you willing to come to the cross and say, Lord, I want what you have. Forgive me. And then turn away from the way you've been living your life and turn towards him. If you do that, you're sealed, the Bible says, right? You get an opportunity today for a few minutes to think about your legacy. Some of you in this room, if you can't 100% say that, Lord forbid you were to die today, that you would be in heaven with God, I wouldn't take the chance of walking out of here without making that right. And if you're in this room and you know, man, I've been living for myself. Change it today. Whatever you do, don't leave the same as you came in, because if you do, you're choosing to.